We are the Satellite Sisters. Welcome to the show. Not every conversation will change your life, but any conversation can. I'm Liz Dolan. I'm here in Santa Monica, California. It is Tuesday, April 25th, and Julie and Leon are with me. Julie, you're home in Dallas, Texas. How's everything
I'm back
there?
I'm back in Texas. Fine. I'm just still, I have an afterglow going this morning here, and we're going to be talking about it coming up, about the big weekend that the Satellite Sisters, all kinds of Satellite Sisters had in Santa Monica.
It was big, big, big. And Leanne, how's everything in Pasadena?
Good. I'm fine. Good. I've had to move on. I have other things on my list. I mean, sure.
No time for us.
You're over us. Okay, Leanne.
No. Remember when I had to do that Heart of Darkness paper in high school? Well, I have a couple of magazine assignments that are hanging over my head like that Heart of Darkness paper. So that's what's happening here. But I'm happy to be here right now on the air.
Okay. All right. Well, we did have so much fun this weekend. It was just great. We don't even know where to begin. So we just decided that Julie has to start. Well, like, okay. Where do you even begin? The recapping of Five Sisters all together with all of you listeners.
Yeah, that was, well, just that it even worked, okay? Because again, let's go over the basics, that this started as a simple invitation for the Satellite Sisters, some, maybe not all, Satellite Sisters to do something in conjunction with the LA Book Fair. It was an invitation for a small speaking assignment at the Santa Monica Public Library. But then Liz, because she has big, big ideas, conceived of a big, big plan, that this would really be the ideal time to have all five sisters, which is something we didn't even have when we were on the book tour in many situations, mm-hmm. all five sisters in Santa Monica. And that if we were all going to be there, we should open it up and invite all of our Satellite Sisters that are listening to our podcasts. Right, Liz? Because that's the way you think.
Yeah. I mean, it just seemed like a nice weekend in Santa Monica. Like, as long as two of us or three of us are doing it, well, why not get everyone in on the action? That was the idea.
And so, first of all, the five sisters, Liz, Lean, and I are doing this on a regular basis. Sheila and Monica have sort of stepped out because of their professional commitments, but they agreed to show up in Santa Monica. And when we all got together prior to the beginning of our talk, we couldn't even remember when we were all together last. It was sort of
all together on stage.
All together on stage. So it was sort of monumental from a sister point of view. To begin with. And then we didn't know I think we had some sense that some people would show up to hear us, but we didn't know how many people, and that people would come from so far, and that they would come with their mothers or their sisters or their friends or their neighbors or their other Satellite Sister friends that they've met at other Satellite Sister events. So
I know,
that
crazy.
Was, yes. You know, that was the auditorium's seats, 140 people, and we had 137 people show up, right?
Really? See, we told you not to panic. We told you you'd get in.
No, normally when you're doing these things, you worry about not having enough people turn up.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, we started the last like 3 days, we were mainly all like, please don't let anyone come. Please don't let more than the exact right number of people come.
Stop
the
promoting
exact right
Liz.
Number of people came.
And the other thing about this event, as it was conceived by Liz, is that there was going to be walking, that you could park and walk to the event, that you could stand outside the event, that after the event there was going to be this after party and we would walk to that. Well, that depends on good weather, which I know you get a lot of good weather in Santa Monica, and that it's California. It's always, the sun is always out, but you know what? Sometimes it's not, right? And you've had the rainiest year on record this year. So it was quite possible that it could have been stormy, which really would have, I think it would have dampened the mood a little bit if everybody was soggy, right? Or if there were high winds, or if there was gloom, or that marine layer had set in. I mean, the weather was glorious. So if you had gotten on a plane from New York or Philadelphia or North Dakota or Minnesota, you arrived in California and it was California dreaming time there.
It was California the way you want it to be.
Yes. I mean, it was clear skies, beautiful weather, comfortable weather. And so, I mean, So just automatically puts everybody in a good mood. So that was great. And then again, Liz, taking this whole thing to the next level, what was the multimedia approach? Because we were also going to do a live webcast, which was so fun to understand that people tuned in from all over the place to watch this, to watch the event. Well, I mean, that was really...
Yeah, that is super fun. If you go to the Satellite Sisters Facebook page, you can see all the commenting of the people that were watching, both when it was live, and then you can still watch it there. It's all just recorded and posted there. And people really started saying, here's where I am, here's where I am. Like, I'm in Maine, I'm in Florida, I'm in Seattle. And that was really exciting to see, that people were just from all over. I'm in the UK, I'm in Australia. That was cool.
Let's face it, that was a miracle that works. I mean, come on. Who's kidding?
Yes, it was, Leanne.
That was.
Because it started in your garage, right? Because early on Saturday morning, your son came over for a tutorial to show you how to operate a C-stand and how to make sure that you are going to be able to attach a phone or an iPad to this stand so that somebody wouldn't have to hold a phone up for an hour trying to record our Ask Us Anything presentation, right?
Yeah, when I told Brooks Liz's plan, like, well, her neighbor's just going to hold the phone up. He's like, yeah, that is not going to work. like, no one wants to watch someone holding a phone up for an hour when their arm starts to shake. So that's when he stepped into action. But yeah, I just happened to have 30 or 40 C-stands in my garage. So high-quality C-stands, as the people at the public library said. Yeah, that the Facebook Live, Liz, that was a miracle. I have to hand it to you, because I was very suspicious that was going to work. But we had a great setup there at the library. We had good audio. We had good lighting. It was a real stage. And so we were able just to mount the iPad on a C-stand. Deborah, your neighbor, monitored the picture, and it actually worked. That was really unbelievable.
I mean, my biggest worry was that it would work for like 10 minutes and then just stop. Yeah. And then all of you at home who had rushed home on a Saturday afternoon to stare at your laptop would be disappointed, and we would just get hundreds of complaints.
But
it was like, I mean, it's sort of like the weather. It just like somebody was looking out for us, Liz, that worked. And then pulling it all together was Corny Cole, our fearless producer, and her mother, Emmy, who played key roles in sort of keeping things moving along, getting people signed up for the raffle, and generally just whatever we needed. So that was great. So the presentation was fun to do. It was fun to hear people's questions, to hear their comments. Probably, I think the only thing we might have done differently, Liz, is get you a taller chair.
I commented on that yesterday on Facebook. As I keep looking back at these images, not only did I have a lower stool than, you know, the sisters on either side of me, which would be the two of you, I was sitting on it as opposed to just leaning against it. So it makes me look like I'm kind of in a baby chair.
Yeah. I voted for standing. I do not like to sit on stage. I always prefer standing. So I just stood because my
stool. And you look powerful, Ian. You look good.
My stool was too tall. And I tried to lean and it was super awkward and I just gave up. But
question. So you could have given your chair. When I look at those pictures, I was like, oh, maybe Leanne should have given Liz the taller chair. But in the moment, we didn't know that. So we'll just put that in the show notes for I don't know when. Get Liz if anyone deserved a tall chair, Liz, it was you, and you didn't get one.
No, it was fine. It was just funny. I didn't notice it in the moment at all. It was just looking at people posted a lot of great pictures on our Facebook group and on the Facebook page. We have the video. So it's the more I look at the photos, it made me laugh.
The shorter you got.
Yes.
We also want to thank Hannah, our bookseller, who filled in. And she and Diane, our accountant and Satellite Sister listener, Diane Gray, who's also stood by Hannah's side. We had a lot of Satellite Sisters help us out. It was very DIY.
Yes, it was.
It was not really a high level production at all. That's why the whole thing had a miraculous quality to it.
Yes, it did. But here's the other part. Now, maybe Liz, I don't know, you go to better after parties than me, but generally when there's an after party, that it never works. You know, it's either the mood changes, the energy diminishes, the facility or the space is not right, and things just sort of, I don't know, peter out. But Liz had organized that after our hour-long talk and then the book signing, that we would all just walk around the corner in the glorious sunshine of Southern California and end up at this place called, this delightful place called Esther's Wine Bar. Now, first of all, they had seating for everybody. People could sit down in little groups inside, outside. It was so pleasant. And the best part was all the energy, all the goodwill, all the excitement of meeting satellite sisters and having satellite sisters get together, of satellite sisters meeting individual sisters. It was all going on in Esther's Wine Bar. I mean, that was so fun for me to be able to spend time to really get to know some of the people that post all the time on our Facebook group and, you know, to just hear about their backstory, to hear more about their lives. I love that.
Yeah, that really was great because normally we don't get to meet enough of the people.
Or you don't get to spend time. You don't get to have a detailed conversation with them. It's usually like, hi, goodbye, keep moving, you know, or something like that.
Like the book line. The book line.
Leanne was at the front of the book line.
Gotta move it. Yeah.
She has very good penmanship. She's good on the dedications, but she moves you down the line. You got a nice little visit, but then you just have to keep walking with your book. Stay with your book. Wasn't that what you were telling people to do?
Like a sandwich at Subway. Just keep with it. I think the key to the after party, though, was that it was at 4 p.m. and not 2 in the morning. And so that's why, that's why it was good. People were still awake and looking good, and it was super fun. It was really fun.
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone, and they can print it and frame it, and that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift-giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this sounds
like...
But you are
going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for part of the summer, I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. no antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
That, and Esther's is such a cute little place and not super busy at 4 p.m.
Right.
So that's why, even though I had told Maddie, who she's the manager of Esther's, you know, we didn't know how many people were coming. So I originally said it might be 24. And then I realized it was probably going to be more than 24. So I bumped it up to like 36, maybe a little bit more. We definitely had double that. And but they just rolled with it. They put on, you know, she had anticipated that she was going to have extra wait staff needs. So people just could sit in that outdoor area. We basically took over most of the restaurant, mm-hmm. and Maddie was fine with it because at 4:00 p.m, it's not their rush hour. And so by the time we all wandered out, 6:30, whatever, then actual customers were coming in. But you're right. Everyone got
to talk.
But
we were actual customers. It was a no host bar. So
yes.
People,
no.
Yeah, we were, because people bought us glasses of wine, which was very nice. So many thanks. Many thanks.
You know, I also want to say,
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say, it just, you know, it's about making an effort. You know, so many people made an effort to come to that event, to come to Santa Monica, to get it organized. And, you know, they came in groups, came with their friends. And I hope they feel like, I sense that they feel like it was well worth the effort. And it was an effort on our part to get it together. And, you know, kudos to Liz and Leanne, who did most of the work, all of the work. Sheila, Monica,
and Caitlin, Caitlin Heck.
Yes, we were sort of hanger-oners. But, you know, to make all that effort, you know, it's worth it at times, because it was such a fun afternoon.
Yes, well, we even got a thank you note, Julie, from Barbara at the library. She is the public services librarian. So she is the one who was in charge of organizing everything that goes on in that theater. Like, people that weren't there don't know, right before us, there was a piano recital. So
I thought it was a bar mitzvah. I couldn't tell, because it was like 12-year-old boys. I was like, I know they don't usually have bar mitzvahs at libraries, but they have like cake and they're all dressed up. What was happening in here?
Yes, that was, and they had two giant grand pianos on the stage. So in the quick changeover to the Satellite Sisters, they had to roll the pianos out of the way, get those stools out there, reset up all the audio. So Barbara is in charge of all of the planning for all of the events that have to be back to back, because it is a public library. You know, it's her job to just get lots of people to use the facility. So she sent us a note yesterday. And it says, many thanks to you and all the Satellite Sisters for the fantastic and uplifting program on Saturday. It was wonderful to see all the moms and daughters, sisters and friends who came out and had a wonderful time together. I'm sure the cafe owner also thanks you, as I heard they got a lot of business from your program attendees. So again, if you look at the Facebook group, you can see people posted a lot of photos of themselves in line. The line became just the social happening of the day in Santa Monica. And people arrived because there was concern about capacity in the theater. So people were there 2 or 3 hours in advance, at least. And so there's a little cafe right there in the library. So apparently they're happy to have us back anytime.
Yes, another library worker did say, as she came through the book line at the end, you have the nicest people. These are the nicest people I've ever met at the Santa Monica Public Library. So
Yeah, yeah, it was great. You know, and when you tell us your stories, I mean, there were people there who, with the friends where they've been friends for 50 years. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, my mom turned me on to your show. And so, you know, yeah, we made the effort to fly here from the Midwest, or like all of that kind of stuff. You know, Jennifer coming from Maine, I think she got the prize for having come the furthest. But then people were also, they were exploring what Jules on the Facebook group called kind of the archaeology of the Satellite Sisters around the neighborhood. So there were people, Darcy found Drugtown and posted a photo of Drugtown, which of course for many years Sheila had an ongoing drama of things that happened to her inside Drugtown. People actually went to Baja Fresh again because of the years of hearing Sheila talk about Baja Fresh. So people were posting photos of their cocktails from the front porch of the Georgian Hotel. That hotel also worked out great too. So, you know, thank you to Catherine, our travel agent, who did that completely free of charge.
Yes.
Made that possible for everyone. It was nice to have kind of a headquarters hotel, don't you think?
Yeah.
Again, sure. The whole thing was a miracle.
That it was a miracle. Yeah,
the sun was shining down on Satellite Sisters on Saturday.
I appreciate the fact that there was quite a lot of love on Facebook for my shoes. So
yes, shoes were getting very positive reviews, Liz.
So people wanted to know the story of my shoes. So I let them know that's the Monroe brand. I bought them at Nordstrom's. Sheila always recommends Monroe. Sheila, because she's, you know, got the bunions. So she's always looking for fashionable comfort shoes. So I let people know that it was the Monroe brand, Julie. And then other people in the group looked up the actual style. And that style of shoe is called the cookie. The cookie. Okay. So I was wearing the cookie. And then they found other places besides Nordstrom's where you can buy them. So, you know, the Facebook group, just take it and run with it, whatever you want. So thank you for the love for the shoes. And it was just super fun to see everyone having such a good time, not only with the Satellite Sisters they came with, but with the Satellite Sisters they met in line,
yes,
or
exactly,
chatted with at Esther's. And, oh, thank you to Away Luggage. The winner of the luggage was also kind of a thrill, right?
She was Phoebe, and she was probably the youngest person there, but she was totally thrilled. She came from Glendora, California, so she drove in, but she had her mom and her sisters with her and her aunt, and she just could not believe that she won that luggage. And then, like any good little 11-year-old or 12-year-old, she gave it to her aunt. So that was good. So, yeah, many things.
And she planned to watch the webcast a lot.
Okay.
That's what she told me on the way out. Because that was it for Phoebe. That was pretty exciting, you know?
Yeah, she was very cute. And they came afterwards to the wine bar too. They stayed a long time. So the
party
whole
continued there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the whole fam.
Okay, well, it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. We made the most of it. So did all of you who joined us, whether you were there in person or online. So it was super fun. And that video is going to be posted forever, or for as long as I leave it up there.
So thank you again for coming. Thank you for all your comments,
yes,
for watching.
You.
It means so much to us.
Yep. It's just, you get a lot of love from people. They know a lot about us. You know, people really remember a lot of things we've said that we no longer recall. So it's good to have you out there reminding us. Okay, so then the rest of the weekend. So Monica was staying with me. Julie, you were staying with Leon, right? But Monica was here at my place in Santa Monica. So on Sunday, we went to go see our brother Brendan. And then we swung by your place, Leon, for some very nice, like you said, it would be light refreshments, but it was a very fresh ceviche. And you gave Monica and me a tour of your garden, which I know you mentioned it a lot, but your garden right now looks absolutely spectacular.
Thank you.
Like Sunset Magazine quality garden.
Yes.
I thought it was going to be just like a patch of dirt. Oh, no. You know, it's got sculptures. It's got rock paths. It looks It looks bountiful as well.
You've Thank got you fruits, you've got vegetables, you've got flowers, you've got climbing roses, a profusion of roses.
Yeah.
Anyway, really looking good, Leanne.
Thank you very much. Well, I would like to credit the rain, too. I mean, this is, you know, that we could have, it would never have happened if the drought hadn't broken. So, but thank you. Yeah, this is the week. I said to my husband, we should just put the house on the market right now because it's never going to look better than it looks out back right now. But yeah, it's been fun. It was fun to have you all and show off our garden. It was nice. It was great.
Yeah, and Monica got to meet Steffi. So she was excited to meet the new dog.
Yeah. Who behaved perfectly, right? There's a little, you know, a little kerfuffle in the front door, but then she leaves you alone for the rest of your visit. She's not needy. Yes. She's not needy. She enjoyed meeting Julie, though. Julie, she was happy to see us when we walked in after the event.
Yes, I like Steffi.
Yeah.
She's a keeper.
She's very cute. Yeah, it was nice to have people over. And I have my college roommates coming in this week. I have a college reunion. So we're just turning over the bed sheets here. I'm turning over the gift baskets. I'm doubling down. I have two bedrooms full, you know, doing a whole thing Thursday night for people coming into town. So it's happening. Wow. Here. The B&B is happening.
And it's free.
I mean, totally free.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. Mm-hmm. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon neutral custom beauty brand. So PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled PROSE, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo, you can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria Seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SAD Sisters. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SAD Sisters at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
If you're a friend of Leanne's.
Yep.
We believe in free. Yeah, we pulled off a lot of stuff this weekend that was mainly free. So I think that could be the flaw in our business model.
It is. That. Yep.
I think we have figured out, the gap in the plan.
Yep. It's why we're setting up our own C-stands and schlepping our own books and, relying on Corny's mom to manage the line.
She did a fine job.
I sent her a nice thank you note yesterday. She did an unbelievable job working that fishbowl. Getting those names into that fishbowl.
Okay, well, moving on. Last night I went to a professionally organized event, which was also fun, completely different spirit than, the Satellite Sisters event. But last night was the premiere. When I was still at National Geographic Channel about a year ago now, we began work on a project that is a 10-part series about Einstein from the Walter Isaacson biography of Einstein. And the show is called Genius. And it premieres tonight, Tuesday night. If you're listening to this today, it will premiere tonight. If you're listening to this tomorrow, it will still be on the air. Just go to National Geographic. They repeat it a million times. But anyway, so Einstein's a 10-part series, and it's produced by Ron Howard and Brian Grazer, who, are obviously they've done a million things and they've won Oscars, but, they did A Beautiful Mind. So they're very interested in telling stories about, people who kind of understand things about the universe that the rest of us, there's no way we're going to understand it. But what was super, super interesting about the show is that it puts Einstein in a historical context, but in the TV series, there's a young Einstein and an old Einstein. Because I think if you're us, if you're me anyway, you kind of think of Einstein as like, ooh, crazy Einstein, the professor at Princeton, right? Sort of nutty, nutty old man. But he was actually kind of wild in his youth. And you can imagine quite iconoclastic. But also there was a lot of various wives and even cheating on those wives. And he was really
a big Romeo, wasn't he?
A big Romeo when he was young. And so they decided in the book and in the TV series, they want to show you sort of both sides. It's sort of the man behind the mind is what they called it. So the old Einstein is played by Jeffrey Rush, and he is just fantastic.
Oh, I bet he's great. Oh, that's perfect casting.
Yeah. He's just perfect in that. But the young Einstein is played by this South African-born British actor named Johnny Flynn, who looks like a slightly younger version of Oscar Isaac, the way they have him. He's very, very, very
looking
attractive.
Looking him up now.
It's important that he looks super attractive because he's, sleeping with half the people in the TV show. And so you have Johnny Flynn and Jeffrey Rush as young Einstein and old Einstein. You have Emily Watson playing Elsa Einstein, his wife. And you get the story of this amazing man in the historical context. So, growing up at the turn of the century, 1900, but then you see the rise of Nazism in Germany. You see his concerns about that and how long he stays in Germany versus then deciding to move to the United States. And I realized, I really don't know very much about Einstein at all, right? Like E equals MC squared, which I couldn't even explain that if I had to, but there's that. And then there's the crazy Einstein photos, but I really don't know much about how his life unfolded. So it was really fun to see the whole first episode. I definitely recommend it. And it's very, like, it's super cinematic. So Ron Howard directed the first episode, which is very unusual for him to direct an episode of television. So Ron Howard directed it. Hans Zimmer did the score. So it's like a mini movie, but you're going to get 10 of them. So I completely recommend it. I had a lot of fun going to the event because I got to see a lot of my former colleagues from National Geographic, who I haven't seen since I left last summer.
And did you go to a good after party, Liz? Was it as good as Esther's Wine Bar? I don't know.
It was very different, Julie, but it was very well done because they had all of this crazy stuff going on at the after party. Like, they were playing with the time-space continuum, if you can imagine that as kind of an entertainment theme. But for instance, like,
glad we didn't tackle that as a satellite sister.
People had enough problems with what time is 2:00 Pacific Standard Time.
Yeah, I know. What time is the live stream?
That was throwing people. It's 2:00.
Yeah. So, but they were making physics jokes, like, you know, at the various food stations. One sign said, E equals MC chicken. And another sign said life of pie, but it was the sign pie, it was a pizza station. So it was pizza pie, but ha ha ha, physics jokes. So,
that's,
you know,
pretty lame. I got to say that's some low hanging fruit there.
I know, but it was loads of fun. And when you go to these shows, Lee, and I think you've probably been to one or two of those, because almost everyone in the theater worked on the actual movie or television show. Oh, they are so enthusiastic. They are clapping. They are, like, when the credits come up for, like, who I was clearly sitting with the sound engineers, because any kind of credit for sound. Oh, yay.
Yeah, that is fun about going. Almost any movie in L.A., someone claps at the credits. Yeah. People clap, first of all, and then people stay for the credits, and then they'll clap during the credits because they know someone in the credits. Yeah, it's kind of fun.
So season one, genius, premieres tonight. But season two will be a different genius. So they've announced that there will be a season two, but they have not yet announced who the genius will be.
Oh,
so
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's good. I think that's an intriguing series. Okay.
Yeah. I hope it's Marie Curie. Come on.
Oh, that would be great.
Right?
All right.
Come on.
Let's start stuffing the ballot box.
Yep.
So the
died of her own poisoned experiments. It's incredible, Marie Curie.
Okay. Well, Lee, and you know who you should pitch that to? One of the executive producers of the show, Francie Calfo from Imagine Television. You know, who with the Satellite Sisters have known for a long time because she's a listener. She's a family. She's got 8 brothers and sisters. And so every once in a while we bump into her, she calls us, and, you know, she's always been very enthusiastic about Satellite Sisters. So anyway, she's going to help make the decision. So you might want to just pitch Marie Curie now while you have a chance, especially if you have a script. Do you have a Marie Curie script?
I don't have, but remember we did that great Marie Curie book on Satellite Sisters.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Remember that biography? Yeah, that was fascinating. I didn't know anything about her. I mean, other than like Marie Curie, like her name. But
she's supposed to have written the best PhD thesis ever written, too. Yeah. That's her claim to fame.
I really hope they go with her. Yeah, her husband got so much of the credit, and she did all the work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
okay. Anyway, Einstein, I recommend Genius. Put it on your DVR.
Okay. Good report, Liz. Okay, I have 3 women, sisters, that I want to talk about. First is Serena Williams and the absolutely wonderful, somewhat a little bit surprising, great news that she is pregnant. And that if you do the math on her pregnancy, it means she was pregnant when she won the Australian Open. Okay.
That is so amazing.
I mean, Leon, you and I have been pregnant, and you know how off balance that puts you, right? I mean, to be.
Well, not if you're just lying in bed for the first 8 weeks like I was. I was not off balance because I was just either throwing up or lying in bed. So, yeah.
I mean, it just once again, it proves that Serena Williams is one of those athletes that's just in a category all of her own. You know, she's in a stratosphere as an athlete. And the fact that she could play at that level, you know, at her age and be pregnant and win a major tennis tournament is just so amazing. So, I mean, the beginning of the week, I just, as you know, I'm sort of a secret tennis player. I don't like to tell people that I play a lot of tennis because of what I look like when I play tennis. So I just, you know, but I admire great tennis. We love watching tennis matches, and I have admired her as a player, and it just adds to my admiration that she's doing that. So I was really shocked and alarmed to read the news a little later in the week that the has-been male player Ely Nastassi, who had the nickname Nasty when he was on the men's tour, was overheard saying a horrible racist comment about Serena Williams' unborn child. I mean, he was at a news conference. He was at a tennis news conference and made some which I'm not going to repeat. Okay.
Please don't. I don't even know what it was, but ugh.
So Serena, because she is again in a stratosphere,
greatest of all time.
Yeah. Greatest of all times. She has posted on her Twitter and Facebook account. She has a response to Ely Nastassi, and she wrote that it disappoints me to know that we live in a society where people like Ely Nastassi can make such racist comments towards myself and my unborn child. I mean, I really was in tears when I read that. You know, here she is, she has a child, and, you know, stupid Ely Nastassi goes after her unborn child. And she writes on that you may shoot me with your words, you may kill me with your hatefulness, but still like air, I rise.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, pulling out a little Maya Angelou there. Yeah.
What do you think?
I say always go to the Maya when you're looking for uplifting statements. Just open your collection of Maya Angelou. She's amazing. Good for her. Well, yes. I think she's learned to just rise above throughout her entire career. So great. That's great.
I know. I want everybody to just put the circle of protection around. I never thought we'd have to protect Serena Williams because she seems to be doing just fine by herself. But I just felt like on a very human basis that you would ever do say something like that to a woman who is pregnant. It hurts me in a very deep way. So I am going to try to rise like the air now.
Okay. He is dead to us then. No more. Well, we will never mention his name again.
Okay. Okay. That's it. He's off. Okay. Now, as I was, the other woman I want to talk about is Peggy Whitson, of course, or Whitson. She is the astronaut that is breaking all kinds of records. Okay. 57 years old. She has the most spacewalks of any woman. She is the first woman to command the International Space Center and a space station. And now she has broken the record for the most time in space. Amazing. Okay. Amazing.
I know.
Liz, oof. I was thinking, that was exactly my reaction because it's been so bad on airplanes lately. Like, I don't even want to go on airplanes anymore. And here she is. She is just out there. She is out there.
I know.
In space.
It's amazing.
She's a farm girl from Iowa, PhD in biochem, and she, you know, and now she is of the generation of astronauts. They're no longer like, you know, so glamorous. You know, it's not, we don't even know their names until they do something like this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like the original astronauts or something like that, that were so famous. And, you know, these are more just really working professionals that just are spending an inordinate amount of time in space, but she's out there doing that. So thank goodness.
It's amazing.
And I guess she may be around for the trip to Mars. I don't know, but that's
kind of interesting. I'm sure they're monitoring her and studying her just in general. Like, I wonder if she has any fantastic health benefits from all that gravity free time. Yeah,
or whether it's like less wrinkles, you think?
Yeah. Sagging. I was thinking particularly sagging, Julie. Just all over sagging.
Or whether there's a difference between men and women with their time in space, whether women are more suited to be astronauts than men. Yeah. I don't know. So if you know, go ahead and write to us at Satellite Sisters. We'd love to hear. So, and the third woman that I want to talk about this week, because she seems to be everywhere this week, is Sheryl Sandberg, the Facebook's chief operating officer, who has a new book out. This is her second book. It's called Option B, Facing Adversity, building resilience and finding joy. She, of course, I think a lot of people know her from her first book, Lean In, and then her husband died very suddenly. And she and a psychologist have written a book where they're really looking at, you know, the issues of grief and grieving and trying to work through some, you know, some horrific event. Maybe it is someone in your, you know, someone close to you that dies suddenly, but she also has broadened the topic. So it's, you know, maybe you find yourself in prison or that you have a serious disease or some, you face adversity that you could not imagine or don't feel that you're equipped for. So this looks like a very interesting book. You know, I had some problems with Lean In, you know, because I felt like I was from the generation of women that had done plenty of leaning and it didn't really get us quite as far as I thought.
You're still bitter. You're still bitter.
You know, I know that. I am a little bitter, Lynn, but I'm trying to get over it. But I think it seems from the reviews I saw in the interview she did on ABC about, you know, even things that we've talked about here on Satellite Sisters about what you should or shouldn't say when someone is grieving, you know, that she said in many ways she felt invisible after her husband died. You know, she felt like the elephant was always in the room and that many people were reluctant to mention it because they want to avoid painful conversations. And, but Leanne, you have always said to address it. And that we learned that from, you know, with the passing of our parents, that even if you just say you're sorry,
right,
it can mean so much to people, you know, or, you know, instead of saying, Sheryl Sandberg writes that instead of saying, how are you, you say, how are you today? Acknowledging that, you know, people who are going through or facing adversity, you know, it's never good, but maybe there is something good going on today. So, you know, she talks about resilience and that many people can, you know, and it sounds like she has tried very hard to, you know, to be resilient about this. And there's what she calls the three P's that when you're looking at something difficult, that you have to really overcome three P's. Number one, personalization, the belief that somehow that what the terrible situation you're facing is all your fault. You have to overcome that. Mm-hmm. Number two, pervasiveness. It is the belief that this event will affect all areas of your life, you know, and that you cannot compartmentalize it. And the third P is permanence, that because you have now faced this terrible situation, it is always going to be like this. And, you know, she has tried to address each of these three P's in her own recovery from grief, you know, and that, you know, that it's, you know, it is, she was, it's not that she isn't missing her husband, but she is trying to address the grief in her life. So it looks like it's going to be a very interesting read and that it may be very helpful to many people who lost a spouse, a partner, or who are facing other adversities. It's also interesting to note that at Facebook that they have just addressed their bereavement policy for their employees. And now they give up to 20 days of paid leave for employees if they're case of the death of an immediate family member. Liz, don't you think that's a lot? That's exceptional to have that kind of bereavement policy?
Yeah, I mean, I know the companies where I've ever worked, there was not a formal bereavement policy with set number of days and then people start calling you to come back. Like there, during the whole time mom was sick, for instance, like I was barely in the office. And then, you know, after mom died and then dad died, I had a feeling that like I was just supported at work, whatever I needed to do, I could do. Obviously some companies, it is much more formalized, but it is important for companies to recognize these kinds of transitions for their employees are huge, difficult things. I've read a bunch of the things that Sheryl has published as op-ed pieces just over the last couple of weeks. And one thing that really struck me is, you know, she was very worried. Her husband's name was Dave. Everyone loved Dave. Dave was everyone's favorite person and just seemed like super friendly guy. And that her kids were young enough when he died that they had you know, memories of him right now, but she was worried that 10 years from now, they wouldn't be able to remember the interactions that they had had with their father, like right now. So she recorded them talking about their father and telling funny stories about the, or important stories about their father. So that mainly like 10 years from now or 30 years from now, they can play it back, watch it again, and remember what they knew about their father, which I thought was
That's lovely. Yeah.
Really, really an interesting thing to do. Because it is true that your memories start to fade, and she wants Dave to like stay alive in their minds and hearts. And that was one of the ways that she did that.
That's nice. Yeah, I saw her on Colbert last night, and you know, he lost his father at a very young age. And
yeah,
I think
right.
a sibling, right? And so they had a really moving, very personal conversation. I mean, about as personal as you could have about grief and just these, like getting hit with those grief bombs for years afterwards and sort of the powerless feeling of grief that you want to go back and change everything and you can't. It was, it was a really very personal conversation. So I'm glad you mentioned her, Julie. She's
three important women this week that are making important contributions. So just wanted to share that with people.
All right, because I'm going to add one more. I saw this headline and I thought, this is our shot. This is it. This is maybe the only time we can ever win a gold medal in track and field. Okay.
Okay, now you have my attention.
Yeah, yesterday, I want to hear this.
Yesterday at the World Masters game, a woman named Man Kaur, 101-year-old woman from India, won a gold medal running the 100 meters. Okay. 100 meters. Now, she was on the track with two women who were 85 and 88, but they were not in her age group. So they both finished in under 30 seconds. Man Kaur crossed the finish line in 74 seconds to win the gold medal in the 100 meters.
Wow. So it's all about working the age group thing, right?
That's it. I mean, because that is not a fast time. I have to say that is not fast. So considering the world record is like 10 seconds. So, and I like the fact that they even used the word sprinted in the article, because I'm sure it was really more like shuffled. But I think the point is, there she was at 101. She had retired from Masters track at 93. But once she turned 100, she decided to make a comeback and show people that it could be done. And then it said, the article said, she did a great finish line dance. So...
Wow.
So that's
you're rightly, and this is within reach.
Yeah.
We live that long.
Yeah. She's also, I mean, just watch for her, because she's also entered in the 200 meter, the javelin, and the shot put later this week. So she could be a 4-time gold medalist if she lives till the end of the week.
Okay. Okay. Well, that leads me to a very brief Operation Sea Turtle update. I have no competitive things on my schedule, but you know, Operation Sea Turtle is my health and wellness program that I.
And Liz, you look very healthy and well when we saw you at Santa Monica. Yes.
Feeling healthy and well, Julie. Thank you. Just channeling the spirit of the sea turtle. But one of my short-term deadlines was trying to look healthy and well for the event that is now past, right? Saturday. So it's easy to fall off the wagon the moment the deadline goes by, right? So this is why, as I mentioned on previous shows, I scheduled my annual physical for next week. I'm in the countdown to next Monday. So it's quasi-annual. I think I haven't seen my doctor for like 18 months. But it meant that like Saturday, we did whatever we did and ate and drank whatever we ate and drank. But then Sunday, Monica and I got up and went for a nice walk on the beach. Yesterday, I swam laps. I'm just back into Operation Sea Turtle more quickly than I would normally recommit, because I've got this hanging over my head. Next day. And, you know, you try to remember like, okay, the last time you were there, what was your actual weight? You can't remember. Look, am I close to where I was last time? Could I be under miraculously? I don't exactly recall. So that will be the big surprise on Monday, is when I see what's on the chart from the last time I was there. So the exercise thing is, that's where it all is for me. But I have completely fallen off, with all of the excitement over the last 6 days, fallen off the meditation bandwagon, you know, having.
Why? You can go to Esther's Wine Bar. Why meditate, Liz? That's the way I feel.
Well, here's what I did last night, Julie. I came back from the Einstein premiere, and I thought, okay, you really want to get back on the bandwagon. You have all these guided meditations on your phone. You could try that. But instead, I watched Madam Secretary on my VCR. I was just in the mood to watch Madam Secretary. And so I did. And I know you guys are doing a recap later, but it was a very good episode. I was glad I watched. But then one funny thing on the eating part of Operation Sea Turtle. So Saturday night, after, you know, we had the big show at the library, then we had the big party with all of you, and then we went off and had dinner together, which was also very fun. And so we're at this place having dinner, and the special appetizer at the restaurant for the night was something they called halibut avocado toast. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, Leon immediately ordered two orders of that, because that sounded like that would hold us over till we could actually order our dinner.
Because we were hungry from talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So the halibut avocado toast arrives. We're all really enjoying it until I don't know whether it was Julian. Somebody noticed that the halibut avocado toast had no actual avocado on it. So from an Operation Sea Turtle point of view, I was fine with that, because I was thinking, oh, good, this is really just smashed fish on bread. The bread I can handle, but like without the added calories of the avocado, that's good. So then there was a brief discussion about why the halibut avocado toast had no avocado on it. And Sheila's theory was, is that avocado toast has now just become like a metaphor for any food where you just have something smashed on bread. So, you know, that's what avocado toast means. Now, you shouldn't assume that it has avocado on it. Just,
it was true.
Right? Wasn't that her theory?
And we bought it.
Yes.
We totally bought it.
Yeah. Like,
maybe that's true. Maybe avocado toast is now just the generic term for stuff smashed on bread. And what we have is the halibut avocado toast, the halibut smashed on bread. So then the waiter came by and somebody commented like how much we liked it, and the very high concept avocado toast with no avocado. And he said, what do you mean? We're like, well, there was no avocado on the avocado toast. And he was stricken, wasn't he, Leon?
He was. Like, I mean, we had eaten every bite of that avocado toast. So we couldn't actually prove it, because we didn't even think to leave any evidence. Yeah, I mean, his face, they looked at their pad like, did I get the name right? And then the restaurant sprung into action. Then there was managers alerted, the kitchen staff alerted. I mean, we had no idea what we were setting in motion. We explained to him we thought it was just a concept. That's why we didn't complain right off the bat.
And we were fully satisfied.
Yeah,
right?
We were not complaining.
It was just an observation.
Yeah. So then what did they do? They brought two gigantic plates of avocado toast with avocado halibut toast.
It was like a quadruple order of avocado toast, chock full of avocado.
Yes. So, which was great for all of us. And we enjoyed it and thanked them. But from an Operation Sea Turtle point of view, I was like, oh God, no, now we've got the avocado toast with the avocado. And of course I have to have some with the avocado on it. It was well worth it though. Definitely worth the calories. Didn't necessarily need the two rounds, but, I know we saved a little bit of that and you guys took that home. But
it was not the same the next day. I can tell you that. I mean, the halibut was good, and I am going to try to reverse engineer it. Because it was like a grilled halibut ceviche with a little pepper in it. You know, the lime really came through.
Yeah.
It was well seasoned. It was delicious. And then chunks of avocado. It was good. Mm-hmm. It was very good.
Yeah. I just want to say, though, that here's the lesson. If you can convince yourself that avocado toast doesn't need to have avocado on it, you can pretty much convince yourself of anything.
Yeah.
And we did.
Yeah. We have lived in Los Angeles too long. That it's just, That's just a concept. There's no actual avocado.
It's a derivative. We were just going with some derivative toast there.
Anyway, that was great. So there you have it. Operation Sea Turtle. Got my Monday deadline. Just working towards that. Wish me luck.
Good. Good work, Liz. All right. Well, I have my college reunion this weekend, and I have a really fun thing on my to-do list. You know, I am the only one of the Satellite Sisters that actually did radio before we were hired to do radio. And
yes, we used to rely on your expertise when we were first starting.
Yeah, so
you know what you were talking about.
I had a show on my college radio station for 3 out of the 4 years I was there. So this weekend, Alumni Weekend, they have slots open for alumni to come back in and do a set on the radio. So that's what I'm going to do.
You're going to do that?
Yes. I didn't get
that. Is great.
Yeah, I'm pretty psyched, actually. I was like, oh my gosh, this, I'm kind of nervous, like playing music and talking about it. Oh, I haven't done that in a while. And the best thing is, like, at some point a couple of years ago, my friend Liz, my high school friend, sent me an air check that I sent her, a cassette tape of one of my shows from December 1984. So I am going to try to recreate a portion of the playlist. If they still have those songs at the radio station, I don't have any idea how they get music on the air now. I mean, I don't know how it works. We had actual records and we put them on record players and we, you know, did the needle drop and then you'd have like 3 or 4 seconds to back announce or forward to promote. And then that's, I don't know how the music gets on the air now. I don't know what it is. They went to they went to cartridges for a while. It's probably all MP3s. I don't know. So they are going to have people, you know, younger undergraduates there to help us on the air. But I'm going to try to, you know, the DBs, the Replacements, REM, the Ramones, Elvis Costello. Wow. This is a great set. Dream syndicate.
So you can go back, Leanne. You can relive your youth, okay? On the radio, you can do that,
right? Doing it. Lou Reed. Okay. This is quite the Outlets, the Drongos, the Leaving Train. It's just really quite a set. So I probably won't get to play all those songs, but that's it. So that's, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about seeing some friends and doing all that kind of stuff, and mainly being back on a KSPC, the space. So there
nice.
You go. Yeah,
nice.
Psyched.
That's
fun.
Exciting. Well, have fun with that. One thing I wanted to mention, you know, we were joking about how our business model is that everything is free and we still have to figure out like what the long-term implications of that are. But for those of you who do want to help in any way you can, I think we mentioned this on the show, on the live show, but it really does mean a lot to us if you go to iTunes or Stitcher or anywhere you listen to us and you rate our show. So can I just get that plug in one more time? Rate it and review it, but especially if you don't have time to write a whole review, you can think about that as long as you want. Just go in there and hit 5 stars and then we're good. So, okay. We're grateful for all your support. That's just the last thing you can do as the support for the events like we had this weekend.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks,
sounds
Liz.
Good.
We'll do.
Okay. Well, have fun at your reunion, Leanne.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got an HOA meeting to look forward to. So got that going on. Anyway, we are the Satellite Sisters. You can please join our Facebook group, like our Facebook page. You can follow us on Twitter @SatSisters. The same on Instagram. Lots of people posted their photos from this weekend with the hashtag SatSistersYTB for You're the Best, SatSistersYTB. So you can go look at all of those photos. And thanks, everybody. We're the Satellite Sisters. Don't forget, call your Satellite Sister.